You just now on some teaching on the matter of private prayer, teaching from the Master himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. There could be none better to teach us, since he knows the ins and outs of it. He knows what prayer means. Even as regards his humanity, he spent much time on earth praying. And so important did the disciples deem this matter of being able to pray that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, after the Lord Jesus had concluded praying, one of them said, and we should be forever grateful to that disciple who said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, so you can learn how to pray." And who better than the teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ himself? And so in answer to that prayer, we have some of what we have read of here, or what we would read of here if we had continued on down beyond where we stopped our reading. But the Lord Jesus Christ gives some very specific instructions here in this reading in Matthew chapter 6. But I want us just to look at one verse and focus on that for our time here today. And that verse is verse 6, Matthew chapter 6 and the 6th verse. But thou, and that word thou there is emphatic, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What a verse, what words, what teaching there is in this, if we can get a hold of it and get a grasp of it today. Now, there are a number of things. Don't be put off by the number, because I'll not be spending very long on each one of them, but they are in the verse and I want to bring them out. I want you to notice, first of all, the assumption that the Lord Jesus makes. And keep in mind, we're looking at this particular verse on how we may be men and women of prayer. And I'm not thinking now of in prayer meetings, so that's important, but I'm thinking of us in our daily seeking of the Lord every day of our lives. The assumption that he makes, and here's the assumption: when thou prayest. He's not saying if. He's assuming, he's taking for granted that those who are born again believers, who are his people, will pray. And ladies and gentlemen, I have to put that to you today. If you're a Christian, do you pray? Because if you're a born-again believer, or profess to be a born-again believer, and don't pray, there is something radically wrong in your experience. He assumes that it's the natural thing for the Christian to do. You remember whenever the Apostle Paul got converted on the Damascus Road, and then he was struck with blindness, brought into a home in Damascus. He was going to Damascus to persecute the people of God, but God arrested him on that Damascus road. And then the Lord said to a disciple in Damascus, Ananias by name, he said, "Ananias, I want you to go to the street called Straight in Damascus. And I want you to go to the house of Judas, for there's someone there, and I want you to go to him. It's Saul. Behold, he prayeth." Now, Ananias had his misgivings about that, but the Lord put his mind at rest. But here's the mark: behold, he prayeth. It was a mark of a new convert. And I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, we should be men and women of prayer day by day. The Lord assumes that we will pray. He takes it for granted, and it is the mark of a new believer. Let this be our normal experience, and let us search our hearts with regard to this matter. Do we just go out to work or school or play each day and go to bed each night and not thank the Lord or seek the Lord for his guidance in our lives, not to mention other matters of burden in our own private lives, the burden of desire perhaps, or the burden for the work of God? Not even to mention those. We should be men and women of prayer day by day. The assumption that he makes. The second thing I want you to notice is the distinction that he emphasizes. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest. Now that word, the first thou there, is emphatic in the original language. There's a tremendous emphasis put on it. And it's in contradistinction with other people who purportedly pray. Notice verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street. You can almost see them in your mind's eye. This religious crowd that are showy, putting on a show for the others that are about the area to show what pious, religious, and upstanding people they are. The Lord says they love to pray in the synagogues and in the streets. But notice their motive in verse 5, that they may be seen of men. What a distinction there is here. The contrast is that we're not to be like these people to, whenever we come to be praying, to put on a show of our knowledge of Scripture, perhaps, when we pray, or the nice fluent sentences we may pray. That's not prayer at all, my dear friend. We're not trying to impress anybody when we're praying. We want, whenever we come to pray, to get a hold of God and to lay hold upon Him and pray to Him. Not to be like hypocrites who are only praying just to be seen and heard. And that goes for the pulpit as well. I was just checking today, before I came into church, what I had read some years ago about a place where a young man got converted. He said, organized religion was a strange thing to me. He says he went into the church and the minister, it was a sound church, but he said the first prayer, there were always two prayers. It was called the long prayer and the short prayer. And the first prayer was 25 minutes in length. The second prayer, just before the preaching time, I assume, was 3 to 5 minutes. And the young fellow said, that first prayer, the long prayer, was the time when the older members fell asleep. And I can well understand that. But we're not talking about public prayer as such. We're talking about getting alone with God in the secret place. We can't put on a show there because nobody's going to be seeing us, only the Lord Himself. And it's Him that we're concerned about. But we'll come to that in a moment. But with regard to ostentation and putting on a show, when really it comes from a hypocritical heart, that same minister that I told you about when he was young, when he got saved, heard that minister praying for 25 minutes, he said in Yorkshire there was a place where it wasn't the minister this time, but it was officers of the church. And they were known to pray for a long time as well. And long praying by two or three people kills off at prayer meeting. It's far better that a large number of people pray very briefly in the prayer meeting. But anyhow, he said that he knew of a man. He was a church officer. And he got up and he prayed. His sentences were lovely. He was polished. And he says he was giving the Lord lots of information as if the Lord didn't know a thing about what was going on. And then he said, "And now, Father, what shall I say about this?" And he said, all of a sudden, there was an old age Christian in the prayer meeting who knew all about praying. And he shouted out, he says, "Why don't you sit down, but before you do, ask the Father for something." And that certainly brought a bit of a stir into the prayer meeting. My dear friend, while we're not thinking so much of public prayer, it's not remiss to remember that when we come to our prayer gatherings, we want to get through to God in prayer. If we're having half nights of prayer, or if we have plenty of hours set aside for prayer in a day or a night, well and good, we can pray a long time as need dictates. But in a weekly prayer meeting where the time is limited and there are a fair number of people there who perhaps would like to pray, it's better, I believe, by a long chalk, it's better that we keep our praying brief. But there is a distinction here that he emphasizes. But notice the third thing, the direction that he issues. Now this is important. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You would know that there's privacy here. The closet was a little room or a store where one could go alone. Other things may have been stored in it. But the Lord is indicating here to encourage your prayer life so that you'll know how to pray. He says, go alone. Get alone somewhere. That prayer, that closet, could be a barn. It could be a bedroom. It could be in your car. It could be out in a field. It could be in the office. But it needs to be a place where we can get alone. We live in a busy society. We live at a hectic pace. And wherever you go, whatever kind of shop you go in, generally there's much music blaring. And people do not even like quietness. Even in our homes, we can't do a thing unless there's music, either from the iPad or from the television or whatever. We need quiet at times. And the Lord is saying here that we need to get alone. Now, the great example here is the Lord Jesus himself. He had a closet. It was somewhere out in a field, or it was in the mountain. We read in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, after a long day for the Savior, we are told in that verse that rising up a great while before day, he went out from where he was staying, he went out into a solitary place and there prayed alone. He got alone with God. The Lord Jesus needed to pray to his Father, and he's the one that's giving us the instruction here. In Matthew chapter 14, and verse 23, he had been ministering to the disciples in the crowds. And then he sent the disciples away. He put them in a boat, and he intended to join them later. And the Bible says that he went up, dispersed the crowd, got the disciples into the boat, dispersed the crowd to whom he was preaching, and he went up into a mountain, and there prayed alone. You remember whenever he was coming to the time of his betrayal and denial and his crucifixion, he came into the Garden of Gethsemane, and we read in Matthew 26 and verse 36 that he brought the disciples in with them, and then he said to them, stay ye here while I go yonder in prayer. He was getting alone, but he had three disciples with him, and he left them and he went further as stones cast, and he poured out his heart to the Lord in prayer. Men and women, he's giving us a direction. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. We need to be alone with God, and we need to be determined that we're going to get into some quiet place and not be disturbed and stay with God until we have done our business with him. But there's a fourth thing, and it leads on to that. Not only the assumption, and not only the direction, and not only the distinction, but there's the seclusion. Notice what he says whenever you reach this closet. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, when thou hast shut thy door, then we get to prayer. We've got to get alone with God. We've got to shut the door on legitimate pursuits. How many times, and I think those of you who pray, you mean well, you get down to pray, and there's some disturbance. Maybe the child begins to cry, or maybe the phone rings, or there's somebody at the door, or something comes into your mind that you should have done earlier, and it's so important. And our thoughts can be distracted. Our minds can be distracted. But that said, we have got to shut the door on legitimate pursuits unless there's an emergency. We've got to shut the door against fleshly resistance. The flesh doesn't like to pray. That's why we read of the crucifying of the flesh. That's why the Lord Jesus says the flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing good about the flesh. It's part of the threefold enemy. We've heard of the enmity of the world. We have heard of the enmity of the devil. And we've heard of the enmity of the flesh. The world, the external enemy. The devil, the infernal emissary. And then the internal enemy of our flesh. So there's got to be the shutting of the door on legitimate pursuits. There's got to be the shutting of the door on fleshly resistance to our praying. We must get alone with God. And you've got to choose the place anywhere where you can be undisturbed. This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. And he's teaching the disciples in prayer. It's so simple. It's so practical here. He wants us to take this into our minds. And then, whenever we reach that door, we open it, we close it, shut out. Oh, there may be a telephone in it. Well, either it comes off the hook or it's ignored when it rings. If it's an emergency, these days there are answering services. You can pick it up afterward, whatever. There has to be this time. And this is the fifth thing I want you to notice. Communion, the communion that the Lord encourages. Notice the verse again. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret." Now, he didn't say pray to God, though that's true. But there's more intimacy here. Pray to thy Father. Isn't that lovely? And further on down, we just stopped before we got to it. He said, when ye pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." That's a pattern prayer. And if you notice, we're not going into it now, but before he comes to the individual petitions of the prayer, we've got to look after God's interests. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Those are tremendous matters. And the Lord says, whenever you're coming to pray, get God into your focus. And then bring all of these needs and desires and burdens that you're having to the Lord in prayer. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut the door, commune with him, talk to him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you thank him for sending the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to be the Savior, to save you. Talk to him about the problems that you have. We do plenty of talking to our friends, and it's good to have confidence, but it's better to have confidence in God. Talk to our Father about these matters. The Bible says, listen to this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7. There's a section there that he tells us to be careful for nothing, that is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget the thanksgiving part. It goes on to say, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your requests be made known unto God, whatever they are. You're in the secret place. That's the tremendous thing here. You're in the secret place. You can pour out your heart. This is why the Lord is encouraging privacy. This is why he's encouraging you to get alone with God and employ the shut door so that you may talk to the Lord about things you could never talk to him about in a public prayer meeting. Oh, what a privilege he's giving us here, ladies and gentlemen. And we should take the privilege and make use of it. And I would suggest that you Make the decision today, if you haven't already made it, that you will get alone with God at some time. Pick the best time through the day, at least once. Get alone with God, where you're going to get a wee bit of quiet and know what you're going to say to Him. Pray for yourself. Pray about the burdens and desires, especially if God has given you a promise to pray over. Pray for your family. Pray for people you know are having a hard time. Ask the Lord to make you sensitive, tender-hearted, and to give you a greater love for the Lord Jesus Christ than you would ever have before. So there's this communion with God that He encourages. But there's another thing I want you to notice, and this is important, and it is the perception that He underscores. Let's read the verse again. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret." God's going to see you there. He's real. He exists. He's in the glory. But He's going to see you as you're in prayer. Nobody else will see you, but God will see you. God's looking down upon us as we come to Him when we pray in all our need. It's a tremendous study how God sees people. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus said to Nathanael? He said, "I saw you sitting under the fig tree." And that amazed Nathanael. And right away, he recognized this was none other than the Messiah, the King of Israel. He says, "Before He came, I saw you sitting under the fig tree." He saw Achan sinning. Whenever Achan took the Babylonish garment and the shekels of silver and the wedges of gold and buried them in his tent, God saw it all along. Oh, not nobody else saw it. The nation paid dearly for it whenever they went out to battle, and it was God that discovered it to Joshua, and it had to be dealt with. God can see us when we're sinning. He saw Nathanael sitting. He saw Hagar sorrowing. You remember whenever she was put out by Sarah and Abraham, that she sat in the wilderness and she cried out, "Thou, God, seest me." God saw her in her plight. He saw her in her sorrow. He saw Nathanael sitting. He saw Achan sinning. He saw the children of Israel in Egypt suffering. At the end of chapter 2, God's word was that He heard the sighs and the groans of His people. And He says, "I'm come down to help them. It's come up to my ears." And the Bible says He looked upon them. And of course, we've already mentioned Paul, whenever, or Saul as he was then, before he became Paul, struck down on the Damascus road, wonderfully converted. And then he said to Ananias, "Ananias, he's in the house of Judas, in the street called Straight in Damascus, and behold, he prayeth." God saw him supplicating, and God can see you whenever you're praying, whenever you're supplicating in His presence at the throne of grace. He sees it in secret. Would you not give a great deal if you thought that you could have a meeting in secret and spend a bit of time with some great celebrity or some great famous person? Of course you would, depending, of course, who the celebrity was. But how much more when the Almighty God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, our glorious Savior and Heavenly Father, is waiting to be gracious to us, and the Lord Jesus is telling us to go into Him in prayer, He seeth in secret. What comfort that must be to us when we come to pray. Very important. We've noticed quite a lot in this little verse. We've seen the assumption that the Lord makes. When thou prayest, we've seen the distinction that He emphasizes. When thou prayest, distinct from the hypocrites that were putting on a show. We've seen the direction that he issued. He said, go into your closet. We have seen the seclusion that he urges. Shut the door. We have seen the communion that he encourages. Pray to thy Father. And we have seen the perception that he underscores, thy Father which seeth in secret. But here's the last thing, and that is the remuneration he promises. Yes, remuneration. Look at the word. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Yes, reward thee. That's payment. That's what the word means. Thy Father will pay thee. But the payment will be a payment of grace. It's not because we earn anything. The Bible tells us of certain rewards for the child of God. But those are rewards of grace, but they're rewards nonetheless. But now he's saying, you're going to be rewarded. God is going to be gracious, and God is going to answer prayer. Now he may give you exactly what you want. He may tell you to wait a while or keep you waiting a while, or he'll not give you just exactly what you want, but he will always, if he doesn't give you what you want, he'll give you greater. But he will reward you. And you can be sure if the Lord's going to reward you, it's going to be a big reward. In the days whenever they used to sell the sweets out of the jar more often than what they do now, there was a mother and a wee boy went into the shop, and the wee boy learned that the man that owned the shop, wee corner shop, he was always kind. So one day he was in with his mom, and he told the wee fella, as he did before, he says, put your hand in, son, and take out the sweets, handful of sweets. And the wee boy did it. And then on this particular occasion, the wee boy stood back when the offer was made to him. And, shy are you, the man said. So he put his hand in and he lifted out a handful and he gave them to the wee boy, and the wee boy had to put the hands together. So going out, the mum said, why did you not take the sweets whenever Mr. So-and-so told you to take them? He says, Mom, did you see the size of his hand, or did you see all the size of mine? So the young boy was cute enough. Well, God knows how to reward his people. The Bible says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And here's something else as we close. Not only will he reward you, but the Lord Jesus says he'll reward you openly. You think of that. Think of Hannah. Poor Hannah. Whenever you read 1 Samuel chapter 1, see how the tempter tempted her. How she was taunted by the other wife in the family, the other wife had children, and she had none. And she took herself to prayer. She prayed out of her broken heart. She went alone. She did not know. She thought she was alone, but Eli happened to see what was going on. But she poured out her soul to the Lord in silent prayer. But her lips moved, and Eli saw that. And how did the Lord reward her openly? By giving her the baby boy that she asked for, and called his name in an acknowledgement of that, Samuel, for I desired this petition of the Lord. You remember Joshua, whenever Joshua was fighting the battles in Canaan and he was running out of daylight time, he cried out, oh God, he said, do something. And then he said, sun, stand thou still, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the Bible says there never was a day like it when God answered a man. So that tells me that Joshua was praying and God lengthened out the daylight so that Joshua could get routing the enemy completely. The Lord did it publicly. He did it for Hannah, did it for Joshua. Do you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? There they are, way up Carmel there. And Ahab's there. The hundreds of false prophets are there. The vacillating representatives of the nation are there, and many people are there, and Elijah prayed before God. God came down in mighty power. I know that he prayed publicly, but it was a situation where he had to pray publicly. But don't forget, he prayed a long while at the brook Cherith, and he prayed a long while in the home of the widow, years in both of those places. So that whenever he made that prayer, a short prayer that it was recorded in 1 Kings 18 on Mount Carmel, God answered by fire, and all the people cried out, "The Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God!" And Elijah was rewarded openly for all his secret praying. What a God we serve. He is our loving Heavenly Father. And may we take these verses and appropriate them to ourselves and start implementing and activating the truth of these words of Matthew 6 and verse 6 in our lives. And it'll be a great help to us as we want to pray better. Look at them again. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." What gracious words from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ on this important matter that concerns us all. And just before I close, there's a prayer that those can pray in this meeting today. Short prayer, and God will hear you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And even sitting in your pew there, if you're not saved, call upon him, and he'll save you as you call. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks.